This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. There will be a new representative in Michigan's 63rd State House District next year. House Speaker Jace Bolger cannot run again because of term limits. Bill Farmer is the Democratic nominee for the district, which includes parts of Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. Bill Farmer, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Gordon. It's a pleasure being here, and thank you for the opportunity to share this time with you and speak to the constituency.
Well, tell the constituency a little bit more about who you are and what you would like to do if you were to win a term in the State House.
Well, my background is based really in the community, Gordon. I worked at Western Michigan University for 18 years. I worked my way through the university going to school here. I graduated in 1978 with a BS degree and secondary teaching certification. While I was going through school, I was also working at Western, and I was a custodian for a number of years, a very respectable career, and through some job opportunities, eventually graduated out of a carpenter apprentice through the university. During my time here, I worked with was on the executive board of the Kalamazoo United Way, bringing needed services to the community. I worked with Michigan Works, Southwest Michigan Group, to bring jobs and training to the community, and worked with employers to create jobs, maintain jobs, provide training to employees. I was on the executive board of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, a public employee union, and while here was the president of a 500-member AFSCME local that provided job opportunity and advancement to that. So my experience is in the community and creating jobs and providing services to this community. That's my background. If elected, and when elected, and when I go to Lansing, my program involves four basic things, and that's restoring funding to public education. It's also repealing the tax on seniors' retirement, refunding the homestead property tax credit, the earned income tax credit, which has been severely diminished. All this money that's been taken away from working families and low-income families can go right back into the community and create jobs. Further, my program is one of supporting small businesses. Small businesses create over 50% of the private sector jobs in Michigan and in the 63rd District. We need to move in a more planned and strategic way to help small businesses. And last but certainly not least, we have to reform our election process. Big money has distorted our election process. Big money has also distorted our economy, and not in the interests of working families, but in the interests of very powerful special interests. That's my plan. That'll be my leadership. That's what I want to accomplish.
All right, let's begin with public education. If you're going to put more money into public schools, where are you going to get it from?
Well, I'm going to reverse what's already been done. If we look at the priorities of the current administration, they are counter to providing good, strong public education. And they are as follows. Number one, the school aid fund has been greatly diminished by this administration taking money out of the school aid fund and giving it to higher education. That's not what it was designed to do. We need to bring that money back into the school aid fund. Secondly, when the Michigan business tax was changed and it morphed into the Michigan corporate income tax, a percentage of that business tax was targeted to the school aid fund. That was lost when it was changed to the Michigan corporate income tax. That needs to be brought back into the school aid fund. Now, that isn't creating taxes. That's recouping taxes that was stolen away from the school aid fund.
Hold on. Let me just stop you, though, on the question of the money going to higher ed. Are you going to replace the money then that higher ed is currently receiving?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of my overall plan. And if you want to get into that, we can get into that right now.
Well, let's hear it. Yeah.
This whole business, this whole election is a matter of fairness. That is the bottom line that I'm working towards and what I see knocking on the doors. People do not feel they're being treated fairly. And fairness is most represented in a fair tax structure. And that's what's lacking here. That's what's not necessarily being talked about here. That is the option to fund public education, to fund roads, to look at fairness. You develop a fair tax structure, you instill in the public fairness of treatment throughout their lives. And that's what we're talking about.
So what does a fair tax structure look like?
A fair tax structure would look at the following. Right now, on average, low and middle income families, the middle class and the working poor, pay on average, after all the deductions are done, about 9.5% tax structure. The higher end, that 1% that we see often in the newspapers and for so forth, the 1% pay on average 5.4%. That's a severe imbalance. That's the inequality that's in our society and in our state right now. If everybody paid what we pay, the middle class and the working poor, that'd be tens of millions of dollars in the economy of Michigan. That's where we can start to level the playing field. People feel comfortable that everybody's paying their fair share and move forward. On my door-to-door canvassing, people don't want necessarily to get rid of government. What they want is responsible government, a government that protects their interests. And I think that's what this will accomplish.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans speaking with Bill Farmer. He's the Democratic nominee in Michigan's 63rd State House District, which includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. If the state is going to put the money that it needs into repairing and maintaining roads, according to Governor Snyder, that's going to be something more than $1 billion. Do you agree with that figure? And if so, where would you want to see the state get the money?
Gordon, I have to fall back on my assessment of what a fair tax structure is. We've just reviewed that and what it means. I believe that is the source for new taxes coming into Michigan. I would be opposed in the discussions that are leading to an increase in gas taxes. Who would be paying the costs of those? It would be the low-income and middle-class families that are now struggling with the current tax structure. I don't think we can add taxes to the middle class and the working poor. We have to go to a different source. And I believe the 800-pound gorilla that's in our living room that we're not addressing is the unfair tax structure. When you have the 1% paying less, almost half as much as the working poor in the middle class, that's unfair. That's not a level playing field. That's not giving opportunity to those people who are struggling from week to week.
At the beginning, you mentioned election reform. Specifically, what would you want to do in terms, I assume that you're talking about the money which comes into candidate committees and to election races. What would you want to do to address that?
I think all money contributed to a campaign, number one, needs to be transparent. I think the population need to know where the money is coming from and how much money is coming from these different areas. That's number one. Number two, I think we need to limit the amount of money that is contributed to campaigns. We're spending over $1 billion nationally on the election process. That money can be better used for programs and services to address the needs that we have. It also represents, I think, the purchase of political power. The reason why we have the concept of too big to fail is because people are elected by the very wealthy corporations and the wealthy to represent their interests. They can afford to pay lobbyists millions of dollars to represent their interests. I want to represent those people that can't afford those lobbyists, the working people, the families of Michigan. I think it's wrong. I think that's an example of the imbalance, and it goes right into a fair tax structure. The field has to be leveled for everybody to have the same kind of opportunity.
When you talk about putting limits on campaign contributions, That would seem to run headlong into the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United. As a state lawmaker, you're not in much of a position to overturn a Supreme Court decision. So what do you do in the meantime, assuming that that decision is going to remain the law of the land for the foreseeable future?
Well, that's a good point, Gordon. What do? We try. And that's all I can say I can commit myself to. We're in a situation where unmanageable wealth is applied to the election process, at least in the interim, until we can change that law. And there's movements about to do that right now. Until we can get that changed, we have to be transparent. There can't be these cloudy areas of money pouring into the election process that no one knows where they come.
So more disclosure.
Absolutely. Disclosure, transparency. Let's see who's funding who. Where is it coming from? What are the priorities of those organizations that are contributing all that money? What are their values? Did they really help our families grow and prosper?
We have a couple of minutes left, so let's talk a little bit about politics. A couple years ago, you were the Democratic nominee in this district, and you came closer than any Democrat has come in recent memory to winning the seat. Does that tell us anything about this election in 2014? Or was that year perhaps an aberration because the House Speaker, Jace Bulger, was still dealing with a scandal involving trying to put a fake candidate on the ballot in Grand Rapids?
Well, there's no doubt that the special situation faced in that by Mr. Bulger's actions had an influence in that election process. But I can tell you through my personal involvement in going door to door and speaking with people in public appearances that the issue of trust and a level playing field resonated throughout the community. And a good investment was made in that election process. It was determined by only 764 votes. That's all out of 43,000 votes cast. I had Republicans, committed Republicans, independents, and Democrats voting for me. My signs were right next to Romney signs. That's what I'm building on. And that's what I'm experiencing people when we can get into a discussion and understand the disparity in our society and the way to approach that. People listen. And people commit to voting for me who are long-term Republicans. I expect that to happen this time and build on the success we had in 2012.
Can you build on it by 765 or more votes?
There's no doubt about it. I'm in the process of doing that right now. People are coming forward. The campaign is moving forward. It's picking up steam. I've had fundraisers and people calling me to help out. The door-to-door, that's the best part of the campaign is meeting people at the door. They'll come to the door and some of them will say, "Are you a Democrat?" And I say, "Yes." "Well, you've got my vote." And then I say, "Well, why? Let's have a discussion." The same story, I'll go to a door. "Are you a Democrat or Republican?" I'll say, "Democrat." "Well, I'm a Republican and I don't vote Democrat. But we get into a discussion, and if as long as they're open enough to have a discussion, the tables turn very quickly because we have shared interest and cooperation. That's what this campaign is built on. This campaign is about our families and how to allow them to actualize their potential. That's what this is about.
Bill Farmer, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Bill Farmer is the Democratic nominee for State House in Michigan's 63rd District, which includes parts of both Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. Links with more information and longer versions of interviews on West Southwest can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.